You want to take out your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 1. Our thoughts are going to be focused in that particular chapter of God's Word. Before we get there, though, I want you to think about the fact that when you look at this Ephesians, in fact, when you look at the book of Ephesians, Paul is focused on giving us some reasons to glorify God. There are a number of things throughout the book in particular that focus on that idea of glorifying God, that God's to be glorified or he should be glorified, and reasons why. I looked at those things and I thought about them, and then I realized that those are reasons for us to give thanks to God for what he has done. I think it's really important for us to notice also that not only does God deserve to be glorified by this, but he deserves to be thanked. He deserves our gratitude for each of these things. And we're going to look at least I listed seven in this section in chapter 1 of Ephesians that I think that stand out, at least stood out in my mind as I looked at them as reasons why we should thank God. And as we were singing song number 499, one of the things that just struck me as we were singing that, I probably has done that before in the past, but it did again this morning as we were singing it in the first stanza there. It says, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer." Oh, man. Make it my constant longing and prayer. I want to be like God. I want to be like Christ. I want Jesus Christ to be reflected in the life that I live. That I will gladly forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. That says a lot, doesn't it? It means a lot. And we sing those words. And when we're singing those words, we need to mean those words. And then I'm going to look at 203 also. I really appreciate, Gary, you leading these particular songs because I think they just fit well with what we're going to talk about a little bit. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Notice there in verse 3. That Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I want you to think about the idea of what has God done? What has he done? God has redeemed mankind. Look at verse 7. It talks about, "In him we have redemption." And how did that come about? How do we have that redemption that is in Jesus Christ? Well, it's by the blood he shed. And that's what brings me to the thoughts that were in song number 203. "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Guilty and vile and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can it be. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior." Think about that. Condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon. full atonement. It isn't partial atonement. It is full atonement. That's what God has done, and He did it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Why would God pay such a price? Why would God do this? Verse 7. His grace. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. God cared about me. He cared about you. He loved us. He wants us to be with Him eternally. And because of that, He has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ and has paid this price because we couldn't pay it. Again, look at verse 3. God should be glorified because He has blessed us. And we should have gratitude in our heart toward God because He has blessed us with not just some spiritual blessings, but He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You don't have those spiritual blessings outside of Christ. And you can't be in Christ without being baptized into Christ, as Paul writes in Romans. We are baptized into Christ so that we can have all of these spiritual blessings, and we ought to glory in God because of what He has done for us. We ought to be grateful to Him for what He has done. As we were singing those songs, and as I contemplated my own life, I thought about this idea of, oh, to be... I have a sermon that I entitled, Oh, to Be Like Him, because of that song. But I thought about it from the respect of my father. When I was, I think, in eighth grade, going into high school as a freshman, my family, my parents, and they still, most of them do, call me Gene. My middle name is Eugene, and so they always called me Gene. But at that point in time, I decided I just wanted to be called Raymond because I wanted to be like my dad. But as I thought about that here a moment, sitting in the pew as we were singing these songs and being like Christ, I thought about the times when I brought shame to my father's name. And that made me reflect on the idea that I have brought shame to the name of God also. And I ought to be grateful. And that gratitude that I'm to have for Him ought to make me want to change the life I live and not bring shame to it anymore. That I ought to want to, because He gave such a great price to redeem me from a vile life. Again, you look at those songs, those two songs we sung, and the emphasis that they place on where Christ is and where I was says a lot about it. I ought to be grateful because He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. There isn't anything that He wasn't willing to give to me. And then in verse 4 there, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Here's a second reason that I ought to have gratitude toward God. That's because He chose me. You see, God's got a plan, and Paul's talking about the plan God has here for us. And because of this plan, I ought to be thankful. This plan is a plan that God established before He established the foundation of this world. He had the plan all laid out. And then He created the world. And that just, I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. It just boggles my mind. It just blows my mind that God, in His infinite wisdom and greatness, developed a plan before He created the world to save me. When I look in the mirror from now on, that thought ought to permeate my heart. Don't you think? How grateful I should be that God would do such a wonderful thing for me. Before the foundation of the world, so that we could be holy and blameless before Him. In love. God is love. And I'm to be blameless and holy before Him in love. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my miserable soul. You have been so good to me. Look at verse 5. Here's the third thing that I see. He predetermined us to adoption. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Notice that each of these things is in or through Jesus Christ. You can't have them. You cannot have them outside of Christ. He predetermined. And how did He do that? By the plan that Paul's talking about here. Through the plan, He predetermined to adopt me as one of His sons. Through Jesus Christ Himself. To Himself. According to the kind intention of His will. Wow. I am just blown away by these words that Paul uses here to describe what God has done and why He should be praised and why I should have such a great gratitude for Him and toward Him in all of these things. He wanted to adopt me. He wanted to make me His son through Jesus Christ. Because of His kindness. Because of who He is. And then I see a fourth thing in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. His grace. I ought to have thanksgiving toward God because of His grace. Because of His unmerited favor toward me. I should truly be thankful that He has extended that to me, given that to me. And notice that it is free. When I believe in Jesus, when I confess Him, and when I am baptized into Christ through baptism, I am still freely given these things. I have not done anything to earn it. I don't deserve it. It's still simply by the unmerited favor of God, that I have been blessed to be called a child of God, to be called a son of God, to receive through His kind intention His grace bestowed upon me in the Beloved. Again, you cannot have this grace outside of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. It's only in Christ that you can receive these things. And then in verse 7, there's a fifth thing. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Oh man, I have redemption. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, given on the cross, that flowed on the cross, the forgiveness of my trespasses, all of my sins, every sin, and I don't even remember most of them. But all of those sins, whatever they may be, have been forgiven me because of the redemption that is in His blood or through His blood. Again, notice, it's through the blood of Christ. You cannot have redemption outside of Christ. It is not possible. And notice, he says, and that this was according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. He didn't just put a little bit. He didn't put just some. He lavished. He overwhelmed us with it. God deserves my gratitude. When I think about these things, it ought to make me realize that I ought to remove sin so far from me that I can't even smell it any longer. I can't taste it. I don't even have a desire for it. I've pushed it that far away. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to do. I wouldn't suggest that. But it ought to give me the desire to remove sin so far from me that I can't even know it's there. Because look what God has done. Look what God has given. Look what God has made available to me. Thinking about Ryan's father having prostate cancer. All of us, my first wife's father had prostate cancer. Cheryl's dad's had prostate cancer. I have a daughter. I have a son. I have a son-in-law that all have cancer, or at least at one time had cancer. If somebody, and I think we already know that my son Tony has leukemia, and that the drug that they have for it costs $500 a pill, and that's $500 a day. That adds up pretty fast, doesn't it? What if somebody came to you and said, here's the cure for cancer. You don't have to do anything. I'm giving it to you free. How would you feel toward that individual? Would you ever forget them? I dare say not. But God has done something for us that's greater than curing cancer. He took care of our sins. Am I living a life that shows that I'm grateful for what God's done? I dare say that most of us have some problems along the way, don't we? I know I do. But I need to think about it more. I really need to think about it a lot more and focus my attention more on these things and how grateful to God I should be that He lavished this upon me because He cared about me that much. The riches of His grace. I can't even begin to comprehend how great that really is. Only maybe if I can remember every sin I've ever committed. But the few that I can remember, I'm truly thankful that they've been removed from my soul. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to a administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. He didn't hide this from us. He didn't keep it a secret. He revealed it to us so that we could know about it, so that we could change our lives for the better by being obedient to Him. Look at verse 11. Here's the sixth thing that I think that we have reason to glorify God and to be thankful to Him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. I have an inheritance. I have an inheritance, as the apostle says, that will not fade away. It will not disappear. My parents left me an inheritance. It is possible for that to disappear. It is possible for that to fade away. It's possible for that to be taken away from me. But the inheritance that God has given me, no man, no government, no one can take from me. That's how certain it is. And what a glorious thing that is. He did this according to His purpose, according to His will, after the counsel of His will, so that He would receive the praise of His glory. He should be glorified. He should be praised and honored as our God and Creator, as we are attempting to do this morning as He has commanded. And the seventh thing that I see here is in verse 13. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Again, to the praise of His glory. He is certainly deserving every praise and adoration that I have. I've been sealed. Not only can my inheritance not be taken away, but I've been sealed so that it cannot absolutely be taken from me by the Holy Spirit. It's a pledge of our inheritance. It's the assurity. You know, when you buy a house, you put down some money. That's the assurity. That's the indication that you are going to pay the price. God has shown us He's going to pay the price. He paid the price, actually, didn't He? And the Holy Spirit has sealed us so that we know that we're going to receive that inheritance. And that with a view to be the redemption for God's own possession. We are a people, the apostle says, for God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. I think about this section and I think about the fact that we have a plan of salvation revealed here or talked about here. That all of this is made possible through Jesus Christ. That this plan correlates to God's power, His wisdom, and His love. And that the goal of God's plan is that we be saved to His praise and glory. Friends, this morning, if your life's not what it should be, we would certainly encourage you to change it. We may not have another opportunity. Job says our life is like a weaver's shuttle. It goes so fast. And as I think about that very idea, I think about, oh my land, I'm 67 years old. Where did all that time go? It's just, it's gone. I think about all of the loved ones that have gone on before. Transported themselves up or been transported beyond the river. Who have passed through death. And how many more yet may go? That day is going to arrive for each one of us. Unless the Lord comes before that. When that happens, will there be rejoicing? Will I be rejoicing? Will you be rejoicing? The only reason you'll be rejoicing is because your life is right with God. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ. If you need to change that this morning, we encourage you to do so now as we stand and sing the song that was selected.